lamp light.
Get the Berkey Light Purifier for only $279.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you of the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of our good friend Larry Pratt from Gun Owners of America. And we're going to be talking about the fact that if you are concerned about the confiscation of guns, you are a potential terrorist, at least according to the Department of Homeland Security, that special division, which, of course, is involved by the extremism and radicalization branch of the Office of Homeland Security, Threat Analysis Division, which is coordinated, of course, with the Federal Bureau of Investigation. And this is a top-secret report. It's only not to be seen by anybody. It is not to be shown to the press. It is not to be shown to the public. In fact, it's the most amazing document I've ever seen. And, of course, we'll make it available to any of our listeners who would like to see it. Basically, it talks to law enforcement information notice they're sending out to all law enforcement places in our country, and you can tell who the terrorists are because, well, they're afraid of the federal government. They want state government. They're afraid their guns are going to be taken away from them. They believe there's a movement for a one-world government. How terrible that people are concerned about a one-world government and the loss of our freedom. Well, with that as a background, Larry, it's good to have you with us.
Stan, it's good to be with you. Thank you for having me on.
Well, it's always a pleasure. Tell us what your views are. First of all, how are we doing as far as gun legislation back there in Washington, D.C.? Are they going to come up with guns or legislation? They're going to try to reenact the Brady Act? Or what are they going to try to do?
Well, let me just say for full disclosure's sake that I'm returning from a conclave of right-wing extremists.
Well, probably terrorists.
There was one of the tea parties that was all over around where I live, and so I was able to get over to one. And a couple hundred people at a local post office greeting people as they came back from dropping off their annual extortion to the federal government. And I would say we had only one person display their single-digit intelligence with a particular wave, and the rest of the people that even bothered to look at it were very supportive, and I would say it was a rather upbeat crowd. They were not surly, although the signs were rather pointed, Obama, Marxist, was probably my favorite. It was short and to the point. So I thought it was a very good day. And by the way, this was in a cold rain this whole time that people were making their views known. But, of course, making your views known when they're opposed to Obama, as you were saying in the intro, is to place yourself firmly in the camp of the right-wing, hate-filled extremists.
And, of course, this is an incredible document. It says a lot of people hate the president because he's a black man. Well, of course, that's not true at all. I don't care if he's purple. I didn't like George Bush. I thought that he was a traitor to America, just as I think that Obama is. They're both, of course, put in by the same people. But they mentioned, of course, this Jewish world conspiracy. Well, nobody's talking about a Jewish world conspiracy.
No. No.
I mean, I believe there's a satanic world conspiracy. I believe that there are a lot of people who want a one world government and want to do away with our government, but they are not do not represent the likes of the Jewish people at all, and yet they throw these specters out there. They set up the straw man so they can knock them down, and that really is rather frightening when the government's trying to turn the American people against patriots who love this country. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Larry Pratt of Gun Owners of America. And Larry's been back in Virginia attending a tea party there. We're of course, in front of a post office. They were handing out flyers about the income tax and about the government is, you know, taking a tremendous amount of money for us and giving it to the big Wall Street banks. The bailout of AIG was simply used as a means of funding about $100 billion of America's taxpayer dollars to the major banks, people like Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan Stanley and J.P. Morgan Chase and Sydney, all the major banks, they all were getting money from AIG. Why did we give it to them? Well, the only reason they got the money was because it was taken from the American taxpayers by Mr. Paulson, who just happened to have been the CEO of Goldman Sachs, where he made some $800 million, almost $1 billion. And as Secretary of the Treasury, he decided, well, we had to save AIG so they could funnel money to Goldman Sachs, which he has a lot of stock in. Some people might think that was a conflict of interest, but after all, there are a lot of people who are paranoid out there, too. Anyway, of course,
and in a classroom, what you just described would be called fascism, and as you were just saying, conflict of interest, well, actually, that's another way of defining fascism.
Right.
It's public power being used for private benefit. And that's exactly what you've just described.
Well, you go ahead and tell us what your views are of what's going on. And because do you think that the average American who was there at the post office back there in Virginia was as concerned as the people who were out demonstrating?
The thing that struck me was there were some signs that talked about excess spending, or excess taxes, but most of the signs dealt with spending, growth of government, threat to liberty. My favorite sign was a lady's handmade sign that says the government wants your money, your liberty, and your arms. Well, naturally, that lady should be an honorary member of Gun Owners of America if she's not already a member. So, but people were making the connection. They obviously had seen the larger picture. And I thought that was really encouraging, that it was not a, quote, single interest point of view that was present, but people who were there for freedom, for liberty, and well, there was one fellow that I'd say that was an exception to that. He was a young man, obviously a government school product, and he was there among us not because he wanted to be, but
hold that thought for
okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Mayor Larry was just telling us about the tea party that he went to back in Virginia this afternoon, this evening, and he said there was one man there who was obviously there. Do you think it was a plant, a government plant, or what?
No, he was. I think he was a bit nervous to be with all of us hateful people, but he was just waiting for a bus. And the only place he could stand was in the midst of us. And he was a bit combative at first, and he wanted to know what was the big problem, because Obama had won, and Obama had 51% when he won, or more than that. And I said, yeah, that's the way democracy works. But, of course, and he said, but that means he has the legitimacy. I said, no, it means he had 52.8% of the vote. But to claim legitimacy for that is to misunderstand our Constitution, because while that was a democratic election, we're not a democracy. And he looked totally puzzled at that point. When I then I explained, you know, what a republic is and how there are only certain things that are allowed for the government to do, and that we the people cannot vote on anything outside of that limited number of permissible activities, and if we do, it's illegitimate. It's not a legitimate exercise of authority. And then I explained to him that he said, well, what would you recommend to read so that I can understand your point of view? I said, well, really the best thing would be to read the Bible. I said, for instance, a lot of the people here today are here because they object to socialism, and they understand that socialism is theft. It violates the Eighth Commandment. He said, it's been a while since I read, what is the Eighth Commandment? So I said, well, yeah, it says don't steal. And it seemed to be a totally new data set for this young man, probably in his mid-20s. And I was sorry to see the bus come, and he depleted our numbers. We didn't have 1,000. We needed every person we could get there. So it was nice of him to lend his unwilling support for about 45 minutes.
Well, Larry, if I could just put in a plug for Radio Liberty, just tell them to listen to RadioLiberty.com, because we cover this as often as we can and talk about the Constitution. But, you know, the most encouraging thing is even the products of government schools and government indoctrination can be swayed. I know one time I was asked to go up to the University of California campus here in Santa Cruz to talk to a class. In fact, Professor Domhoff invited me up, and of course they were all set to ridicule me and of course just tear me apart. There were about 15 of them, bright young college students who'd been thoroughly indoctrinated in socialism, and in about 45 minutes I was able to turn them completely around to the point where they carried my valise to the car. They stood around and they didn't want to see me go, and they shook my hand. In 45 minutes I was able to undo all of the terrible things that had been done to their minds for all these years. They were probably second or third year college students.
You don't think you're going to get invited back there again, do you?
No, I've never been invited back to the University of California campus in Santa Cruz, because they do not want the children to hear the truth. So I think what you did is a wonderful job. And this is what we do. We just hope people will be just dialing the, you know, in their car, dialing, accidentally come across us, or at home accidentally dialing and coming to hear it, listen to us, or some of their friends will say, listen to Radio Liberty and learn about what America is really all about. So you pick up the story there.
Well, it is. It's a fight of one at a time, I think, and your opportunity was a really glorious one to have a whole class full. And every once in a while I get that chance to go back to my alma mater, and my only contribution to them over the many years has been to go back into the classroom and do what you did, and to try to address some of these issues that they just didn't have time in their busy curriculum to get to. So anyway, we're engaged in, I would say, a very desperate combat with a regime that is, I think, self-consciously Marxist. I've been trying to figure out whether they just were ignorant about the ramifications of their socialism, and that a bunch of idealists who think that everybody will be happy if they can spread the money around, or if they know what they're doing. And the publication of this, publication, but the issuance of this document that you're referring to from the Department of Homeland Security indicates to me, along with some of the antics that we've seen that are kind of Acorn-supported antics, I'm thinking of the way they mau-mau the AIG executives up in their wealthy suburbs of New York City, in Connecticut, actually. They were doing things that have been done in other socialist, communist countries in the past, where enemies of the people are at first parodied, pilloried, marginalized, and reduced to a hated group, whether it be the Jews of Hitler's Germany or the small farmers of Ukraine in Soviet Russia, or whether it's the Christians of Uganda or businessmen in Cuba. And when it gets bad enough, the hated, targeted group of the population, after the guns have been collected, then the hatred plus the disarmament results in genocide. And in Cuba, we actually had public executions of the equivalent of AIG executives. These were people that were taken to the firing wall, the paredón, and put up and shot dead by the Castro communists. Even as the New York Times said everything was really cool in Cuba.
But of course, that of course really gets into how did Fidel Castro take over? I have an interview which is available on a DVD with the American ambassador to Cuba at that time, Earl T. Smith. He will tell you that it was the Central Intelligence Agency and the State Department that brought Fidel Castro to power, knowing full well he was a communist. And then, of course, Fidel Castro killed about 15,000 people. Some of them he actually shot himself. People saw him go up and shoot somebody in the head. This man's a mass criminal, and yet today he is being eulogized by our media as he has always been. He should be tried for criminal activity, just exactly as Fujimori down in Peru has been sent to prison for 50 years for being responsible for the killing of about 17 communists. I think Fidel Castro ought to be arrested and or charged with war crimes, world war crimes, for killing 15,000 people. He's directly responsible for it. But you know, you're not hearing any call for that. I wonder why.
Au contraire, what we found, I guess it was in the last week, was a delegation of some 7 congressmen who went to Cuba, and they fawned all over this bloody dictator. And one of them was Representative Bobby Rush of city of Chicago, that example of political moral probity. And Representative Rush, among other things, has distinguished himself in this country as a street thug in the 60s, as a Black Panther founder in Illinois, and as one who served time in jail for illegal gun charges. Now he wants to register every gun owned by every American private citizen. And here he is this last week fawning over a man who really thinks that registration of guns is cool, because Fidel Castro used the Batista registration list of Cubans' guns to collect all the guns. The first full day that Fidel Castro was in power, he sent his goon squads around to the homes that were on the list of the registration for guns in Cuba, and you were in a lot of trouble, sometimes fatal trouble, if you didn't have the gun that was listed on the list. That's what it seems to. I had a very unhappy reaction to learning of Representative Rush saying, "Oh, well, Fidel Castro, we just looked into his brown eyes, and oh, what kind eyes. Wow. That was a very chilling kind of development to see U.S. congressmen who are for gun control, the very same kind of gun control that put Fidel Castro in power, down there fawning over this guy.
Well, you know, what's even more frightening is if you read David Rockefeller's memoirs, he will tell you that both of his daughters were great admirers of Fidel Castro. Now, here's David Rockefeller, one of the most wealthy men in the world, and his daughters used to take regular trips down to visit Fidel Castro. In fact, when Fidel came up to the United States, he went over and visited David Rockefeller. We have to ask yourself, well, is there something wrong with this picture? Why would the daughters of one of the most powerful men in the United States be so really enamored with Fidel Castro? Maybe nothing is that appears to be.
So, no, I think and there's an interesting concept that we learn about when we go through the scripture. In fact, there's a proverb, Proverbs 8, that talks about the those who hate God love death. And so that's what we're seeing with these Rockefeller daughters going to Cuba. They were there to worship the chief killer.
I think you're absolutely right. And I think we should say, how can they go to Cuba when other people couldn't? Maybe they have special privileges because of their dad. Well, I guess this evening is Larry Pratt, and we're going to be back here in just a moment. And during the last half of the program, we'll open up our lines for you to call here at 1-800-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. But hold your calls for the time being till we get to the break at the half hour. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Larry Pratt. You pick up the story there, Larry.
Well, what you've described about the rich folks going over is the same as some of the famous people as well, like Jane Fonda going to Vietnam, or the Walter Duranty, the New York Times Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter, going to the Soviet Union, and all of them just absolutely ecstatic with what they see and describing these dictators that have almost literally blood up to their elbows as such kind and understanding men, and children like to get into their laps, and dogs like to sidle up to them, and they get a little attention from these dictators, and they just go to pieces. All you have to do, apparently, to get some of these leftists who hate God and love death to love your regime is to let it be known that you're killing lots of people, and give them a little individual attention, and they just melt. They become your fond supporter, ardent supporter for life. It's and believe me, one of the things that they all have in common is gun control.
And I think that's really so important. People have to really understand why it's so important that we have to have the right to keep and bear arms.
Yeah, these folks can't operate if the peasants can protect themselves from a government that's trying to kill them. People, it never fails that when I'm, especially with foreign journalists, but even with some in this country, if they're doing a, quote, in-depth article or something, they'll say, well, okay, I hear what you're saying about the history of the Second Amendment, and the militia was used to throw off the British Crown's heavy hand. They have trouble using the word oppression or dictatorship. But you know, that was 200 years ago, and surely you can't believe that the militia and an armed citizenry is still something that makes any sense today. And I said, well, yeah, actually you can say that, especially if you look at the history of the last century, which was the most bloody of the history of humankind, where nearly the population of the a group of people nearly the size of the population of the United States, almost, well, about 280 million people, were exterminated by their governments. They were not fighting on battlefields. That's a whole different body count, unhappily. But we're talking about the people that were killed by their governments because they were Jews or farmers or educated or Christians, whatever it might have been. They were hated, they were disarmed, and they were murdered. And when we're talking about that many people, many of them slaughtered in these enormous, mind-boggling numbers that almost don't mean anything to me, how can we say that having an armed people is no longer necessary? Why, in view of what's happened in our time, our American colonists threw off a tyranny when, why, it was nothing compared to today. It was a walk in the park.
I agree with you totally, and we just need to get the American people to understand history. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Larry Pratt of Gun Owners of America. And Larry was just talking about, of course, in country after country where they disarmed the people, why, of course, they were exterminated. We saw this in Rwanda where they disarmed the people, and then they hacked 800,000 Christians to death. We never mentioned that they were Christians. I wonder why, and because they had disarmed the Armenian Christians before they slaughtered them, and certainly they disarmed the German people before they slaughtered them, and they had disarmed the Chinese people before they slaughtered them. They disarmed the Cambodian people before they slaughtered them. When are the American people going to learn history? And the lessons of history is that an armed populace is the best way to protect the population.
Well, you obviously have to be taught history if you're even going to hope to learn from it. And not that it was a revelation to me, but it was nevertheless disappointing to meet in the flesh a young man who was truly ignorant of how our government is supposed to work, what our Constitution is actually all about, and he was having trouble getting all this new information about the difference between republic and democracy, and just because 51% vote for theft, that doesn't invalidate the Ten Commandments.
Well, you know,
and he
so
really looked puzzled.
Well, you know, the thing is, all you have to do is watch Jay Leno with his jaywalking. When he asked these college graduates, you know, who's buried in Grant's tomb, they have no idea who's buried in Grant's tomb. Seriously, I mean, the things that he comes up with are almost impossible. Then he brings them into the studio, three of them, you know, for a session, and he will ask these ridiculous questions, and that, you know, any third grader ought to be able to answer, and you see how effectively they've dumbed down our children. It's really frightening to witness that. But our job is to educate them. And once they hear the truth, an awful lot of these kids will recognize the truth and will become suddenly good conservatives and hopefully become good Christians.
Well, I guess if we can't get invited to speak to these kids in college classrooms, Stan, what I found today would indicate that we're going to have to go wait at some bus stops to strike up conversations with these poor folks.
Well, I admire you for having done it, and I think everybody has to learn how to just strike up a conversation with people. I like to have them look at the occult emblems on the back of the dollar bill, and of course you point out where they can document what we're saying. They've got to be able to document it, but fortunately we have the internet we've never had before, and we can get people information now that they have never heard of, and there's just so many things that are so outlandish. For instance, the Great Hunger in China between 58 and 62, where they starved to death probably close to 44 million people. Some people say it was only 30 million, but the average individual has never heard of it. How could you conceal that fact in America? Well, the same way you conceal the existence of the Bilderbergers and so many other organizations. But fortunately, we do have the internet. And fortunately, you and I can communicate over that internet and reach people we never could reach before. So in many ways, I'm more optimistic than I've been in the last 47 years.
Well, I agree, because I think many times as I'm exploring things, finding things out, getting questions answered using that internet you're talking about, I used to, as a student in the last century, sometimes even go to the Library of Congress. And after making that trek there, finding a place to park, getting inside, see that the book that I thought might have what I was after was owned by the library. But then when I would wait for 30 minutes or so for some clerk, because that's the way the system worked, to go fetch the book, well, it turned out it wasn't available after all. It was in a congressman's office or whatever. And today, I'd have had my answer five times over before I even got to the Library of Congress, let alone all the delays in waiting for things.
Well, we've got a lot of really going for us today. Our job is just to get people to begin to question. I think a lot of people are going to begin to question what's really going on. And there's so many people I know, you talk to many of them, and I talk to them, who have radio programs across America, or internet programs, or shortwave programs. And more people are beginning to listen. I think that the people on the other side are really beginning to worry that the American people are going to wake up and understand what's going on. And if we can simply explain to them in very, very simple terms, you know, it's very obvious to convince people that freedom is better than slavery. And certainly what we need today is, you know, is certainly is savings and production, not, of course, spending and consumption, which is what the Obama regime wants to do. And I think as more and more people lose their jobs and more people lose their homes and their marriages and their families, they're going to be looking for answers, and we've got to be there to give it to them and to understand, of course, the spiritual nature of the battle in which we're involved. We're going to be back. We're going to be back here in just a minute with Larry Pratt from Gun Owners of America. And, of course, if you'd like to call us, the number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, this is Dr. Stan back here. Larry, go right ahead.
Well, one of the things that we had mentioned in our discussion already is something that might be worth getting back to, is that Representative Bobby Rush, this Chicago ex-con now in Congress, is somebody that has this bill in that would require the registration of every gun that's owned by every American, kind of accomplishing the requisite basis for confiscation of guns when the politicians might happen to think that they could pull that off, like they did in Cuba, like the other countries that have abused the people's rights have done before. And this guy Rush, some people will say, well, you know, he's only got himself there. There's no co-sponsors on the bill, so what's the big deal? Well, let's consider for a second what might be the deal. First of all, 2 years ago in the previous Congress, there were a number of co-sponsors, one of whom is a guy by the name of Rahm Emanuel, who just happens to be the new president's chief of staff. This is a guy that I would say is fairly influential, and even though he's no longer a co-sponsor of the bill, I think we kind of know just based on where Obama's been coming from and where now his chief of staff is attorney general, that's some pretty heavy lifting right there. Then, the other day, Nancy Pelosi, who had tried to tell the administration in so many words not to be so obvious about pushing for the renewal of the Clinton gun ban, banning not military guns, because those wouldn't be touched by the ban, but the guns that a lot of Americans are, by the grace of our government, allowed to own, those would be the ones that Obama and Attorney General Holder have been talking about banning. And I don't think Nancy Pelosi wants to lose her position as Speaker of the House. It's kind of cool flying around in all those jumbo jets that she's made the military provide for her. And so she told them, you know, stop talking about that. But the other day she couldn't help herself. And she said, no, we don't want to ban guns. We just want them all registered. So it struck me that, well, that sounds like a co-sponsorship in spades on steroids for Bobby Rush's requirement that all guns be registered.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back in just a moment with Larry Pratt. And this is Dr. Stan, and Chris, our guest is Larry Pratt from Gun Owners of America back there, and well, their office is in Virginia. But before we go on, Larry, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with your organization, how they can support it, how they can get on your regular emails, and certainly help you as you utilize emails to congressmen to let them know that the American people still value their freedom, that we believe in the Constitution, the Second Amendment, even if they don't.
Yes, sir. Well, we are at gunowners.org on the web, and if folks go to gunowners.org, they can take advantage of a free service that we offer. We'd love to have them join as well. It's all $20 a year, which they can do online. But at gunowners.org, there's a place to get a free subscription to our email alerts. And when those come, they make it very easy to whip off an email to members of Congress that actually are supposed to be representing them, their own representative and their own senators. And those folks, kind of like Nancy Pelosi, they don't want to move any faster than they think they can get away with. And if they realize that they're not going to get away with gun control, we've already seen them back off, and we just need to do more of that, more people doing that, and God willing, we'll get to the 2010 elections before they've completely changed the rules of the game, and we may just have a shot.
Well, of course, it was really very interesting. I do a program every morning in Colorado. And listening to the advertisements that were there, you know, in October and November, early November of last year, before the presidential election, there was Obama saying how much he was in favor of gun ownership. He would never infringe with gun ownership. Anybody who said he wanted to take the guns away from the people was obviously putting out false information. He supported the right to people to keep and bear arms. Total hypocrisy. I mean, we know that he's given speeches against gun ownership in the past. It's sort of like transparency in government. We want transparency in government, he says. But look at the bottom of this report they just put out. It says this is not to be given to the press. This is not to be shown to the people. This is not to be made public at all. Well, I thought they wanted people to know what was going on. And the truth of the matter is they want to keep it sealed, everything from the people, as we move away from freedom towards a government that controls us from the cradle to the grave. And does
transparency was also going to govern the publication of legislation before it went to the president. It would be up online for at least 5 days. And when the big mama government stimulus bill was passed, it hadn't even all been written when members of Congress were voting on it.
And they weren't allowed to read it. That is the most ridiculous thing. They were asked to vote on that without reading it, just like they were asked to vote on the Patriot Bill. Just trust us, they said. Just trust us. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 if you have a question for Larry. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, don't trust anybody, including me. Check and verify. Find out if it's really true. And then we hope, of course, you will eventually understand that you can trust what Larry Pratt says and what we say, and that you'll join us in this epic struggle for the survival of Christian civilization, because believe me, we are under attack today. Are there any other pieces of legislation we should be concerned about today, or do you think maybe in a month or two we'll have some things to worry about?
Well, there's been a general campaign being conducted by the administration trying to springboard off a non-news event in a way that, they have violence in Mexico. And some of the folks in the Democrat newsletter industry, otherwise known as the mainstream media, had been trying to beef up the move for gun control by saying that, well, it was all the fault of the United States that all those terrible guns are getting into Mexico. You know, they've practically got a gun ban in Mexico. It's not their fault that all this is happening with these drug wars and both civil war between the drug cartels and against the government itself, kind of like a three-legged stool. No, it's the fault of the United States, all its lax gun laws and these terrible, disreputable dealers allowing all these guns to get into Mexico. And 90% of the guns used in these terrible shootouts and crimes in Mexico been traced back to the United States. Well, I think probably most people that listen to the news assume that, oh yeah, I heard that. It's 90%. Isn't that a shame what we're doing to Mexico? Well, it's kind of a lie, I guess we could say. It's not really 90%. It was 90% of a small group of guns that the Mexicans actually gave the serial numbers of firearms that had been taken from crime scenes, but that's not the same as saying all of the guns that the Mexicans had from crime scenes. And the reason, I think there are two reasons why they didn't give us all of the serial numbers involved. One would be that many of them probably don't serial numbers. Now, there's no gun that's sold in the United States that can be made without a serial number. So right there, if the gun doesn't have a serial number, kind of makes you think it wasn't sold in the United States, you know? And a lot of those could be machine guns, which are mainly what happens to be used by the drug cartels. Real military firearms, not the kind of guns that Nancy Pelosi wants to ban. The machine guns have been made illegal, most of them for Americans to buy since 1986. The government just decided that the militia weapons should not be owned by American citizens. So instead, were being blamed for guns that could not ever have been transacted in the United States. The other batch of guns for which they have serial numbers that they didn't give our authorities, I suspect, did come from the United States, but there's a reason why they didn't want to share the numbers. It's because the Department of State would have approved the sale of these fully automatic, real military battle rifles to the Mexican military. And the Mexican military's had a bit of a problem over the years. They've had some 150,000 soldiers desert. Now, that's against the law. That's why we call it desertion. And when they desert, I know this is going to be a news flash and hope you're sitting down, but when they desert, they often break other laws, including stealing those machine guns. Can you imagine? Can you imagine 150,000 guns? Who knows how many? The Mexicans aren't talking. They're just accusing us, and they want us to continue to violate even more our Second Amendment for something that obviously we had nothing to do with, or very little to do with. It's the same argument that we hear in the United States from Washington, D.C., that it was Virginia that did this to us because we've got a gun ban and we'd have no crime if it weren't for Virginia. And it's Virginia's guns that are all the big problem. Well, Mexico's using the same argument against us. And our leaders, Secretary of State Clinton and Attorney General Holder and the President himself are delighted to try to use this as an excuse. But so far, it's not really picking up much traction. And hopefully we're going to keep their ears pinned back on this thing. But you can see what they're trying to do, and they don't give up.
Well, of course, it was very interesting. I don't know if you saw the program 60 Minutes every last Sunday night. I always watch 60 Minutes because I want to know what the enemy are doing. And 60 Minutes is the enemy of freedom. And, of course, they had Leslie Stahl having a session on the gun shows in Virginia. Did you see that?
No, but I've certainly read about it and some of the scenes that they had in there and the idea that, guns don't really help you in self-defense and all they're going to do is hurt you or somebody else, and you really ought to just get rid of your gun.
Well, the interesting thing is that not once did Leslie Stahl mention the Second Amendment, that we have a Constitution that guarantees the right of people to keep and bear arms. And she would look so incredulous when she'd say, can you believe that with all these murders and murder in Virginia there with that student, something was able to go in there and kill all those students in Virginia, before he killed himself? Could you believe that after that, and then this recent killing of the three police officers, and the people, more people than ever, are against banning guns and the gun ban here? How could that possibly be?
And frankly, I share her amazement with all of the media barrage, with all of the zero tolerance nonsense being taught in the schools, with all of the misinformation about how bad guns are, never telling about the 2.5 million times a year that they save lives because people are able to use them to ward off criminal attacks. It is amazing that there are more people now than there were last year that don't want to ban guns. I share her amazement. Now, I'm delighted. She's horrified. But we're equally amazed.
It was obvious that this was a propaganda piece. What they do is they use 60 Minutes to implant ideas in people's minds, and they design the programs, and they cut out the segments that aren't in favor of their view, and of course they push the segments that profess their view, and then they try to give the impression they're being so impartial, and they're not impartial at all. These are propaganda pieces used to mold the minds of the American people, And you can still see this up on the internet. It's well worthwhile watching and seeing how they use television to create our reality, form our tastes, and mold our ideas. So this is what it's pretty much all about. And people must understand that the people working behind the scenes, people within 60 Minutes, are part and parcel of these movements. We talk of the Brotherhood of Darkness, and they want to ban guns. Why? Because they very well know that if you ban guns, why then, of course, that is a prelude to what I feel could be a bloodbath in America. One reason we still have our freedom is the Second Amendment is intact. Maybe Leslie Stahl ought to maybe read the Constitution sometime and find out that's why most people want to keep and bear arms, because they believe in individual freedom under God.
And she would also need to read the history of our country that produced the Second Amendment, because it wasn't written in a vacuum. It wasn't written by a cabal of rich white guys that were sticking something onto the American people. This was something that the American people would have told them, in fact, came close to telling them to take a hike. The very fact that the Constitution was put forth without a Bill of Rights and without these specific protections of the people, of individuals, against the government. That's what the Constitution is all about, is to create the government, direct the government, and protect the people from the government. I realize that makes me a right-wing extremist hate monger for having invoked the Constitution and that history, but that would, I think you're right. Leslie Stahl might benefit from doing some reading about the Constitution, and certainly that couldn't be helpful if it were done in a vacuum. It can't be done using the way we define words today. It would have to be done in the context of our history and just how significant it was that the American people had guns, were able to use those guns, and had the will to use those guns against a tyrant.
And, of course, it was so interesting that they had, of course, Dianne Feinstein, a member of the Trilateral Commission, this little clique that really runs things, and she's there raiding against guns and how they're going to abide by their time. But when the time comes, they're going to get them away from the American people. This is the same Dianne Feinstein that when she was mayor of San Francisco insisted on having a gun permit. I couldn't get a gun permit, but she could have a gun permit. And the excuse was she wanted to defend her life. And it is interesting that Leslie Stahl didn't bring up the fact that Dianne Feinstein had a gun permit and carried a gun when she was the mayor of San Francisco. Why would Leslie Stahl forget about that when she's interviewing Dianne Feinstein? Well, maybe she just hadn't done her homework. And the other interesting thing was how they kept talking about assault weapons. Any semi-automatic weapon is an assault weapon. And they say, why, that is designed to kill people. Well, they're also used for hunting. They've been used for hunting, most of these guns, for 50 to 75 years. So a semi-automatic weapon is not an assault weapon. An assault weapon is a military weapon, and how they've changed the definition.
Right.
So that anything that is semi-automatic immediately becomes a weapon that's designed to kill people. Well, so are cars. Cars can kill people. Knives can kill people. Airplanes can kill people. Are we going to outlaw all of those? Certainly silk stockings can be used to kill people, or belts can be used to kill people. Where are we going to stop, Larry?
Well, what we're dealing with is a fundamental philosophical difference of opinion that I think ultimately is rooted theologically. There is a hatred of God. These people don't like the idea that there is an orderly universe that they didn't create, and they want to recreate. And in order to recreate, they have to kill lots of people. And it's really interesting. I've been reading this book by Jamie Glazov, United in Hate, and it's a kind of intellectual history of the last century. And it shows how these lovers of death go from one revolution to another. They lose interest in Stalin once Stalin runs out of as many people to kill, and by the time of the Khrushchev speech that Stalin was excessive, not that he was fundamentally wrong, of course, he was excessive, and they're never going to allow that to happen again. Well, the real true believer then ends up worshiping over in China at the feet of Mao Zedong. And then they end up bumping in, like Jane Fonda, to the head slaughterers in North Vietnam. And then along the way they found time to, you know, isn't it interesting, a guy like Lee Harvey Oswald, who'd become a communist as a teenager, went to the Soviet Union thinking he was going to heaven on earth, and was very disillusioned. Well, they were just a bunch of old fuddy-duddies. And he became a kind of a Trotskyite type and a lover of Castro, because, at least in his mind, Castro was really where the killing was at. They were the ones that were going to make heaven on earth. By golly, they weren't going to let a few lives stand in the way.
Well, we're just about out of time. Our guest this evening has been Larry Pratt from Gun Owners of America. And let me recommend the organization to you. I've known Chris, the man who organized that, Bill Richardson, for a better part of 50 years. I guess I first met him 47 years ago in a hotel room over in San Jose. Is Bill still doing well? Larry?
Delightful to be with you again, Stan. Thanks so much for having me on.
Hold on. You got 3 minutes before I let you go.
Okay,
we'll be back here in just a moment to wrap up the program right here at Radio Liberty. Well, Larry, you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program before I let you go.
Okay, well, I guess at the end of the day, we have to conclude that we're in a cultural war, and that the defense of guns is really the same as the defense of our freedom in a larger sense. And I think we are up against people who understand exactly what they are doing. We can argue whether George Bush really knew what he was doing. He certainly wasn't a socialist. But in a case like Obama, you've got a guy who, as far as I can tell, is more radical than anybody that has ever occupied our nation's highest office. This is a man with an agenda. This is a man who seems to be in a hurry to communize this country. And hopefully folks listening are going to get involved. Please go to gunowners.org. That's one of the things, but not by any means the only thing, that needs to be done. We need information. We need a commitment to action. And we have to be willing to talk about these things and to be bringing people out of the darkness that they've been led into by the authorities in this land. And when people realize what's been done to them, we have to show them what they can do to act. They can get their children out of the government schools. They can make sure that the candidates they vote for really answer their questions and not just give them some, well, I support the Second Amendment. Well, some of the biggest anti-gunners in Congress will tell you that. So we need to become much more discerning than we have been, and hopefully we still have time if we commit ourselves to making a difference. Change we can really believe in.
Well, I certainly agree with you, and I'm so glad you're back there in Washington, D.C., and that you'll be with us once a month, just to keep us abreast of what's going on, because there's so many things that can come up so quickly, and of course, you need, of course, to get people mobilized to send the emails to their congressmen. Certainly, you've been pretty effective in the past, haven't you, with massive email sendings to congressmen to get many of them to change their votes?
It is so interesting to see how they do react, and that they do back off from gun control that they're pushing when they see that the people are watching and are expressing themselves. The system still works. One of the biggest problems with the system is we don't really seem to exercise ourselves enough to make it work. Well, that's shame on us. Like Pogo said, I've seen the enemy.
Hey, Holt, thanks very much. God bless. Talk to you next month. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Dan.
Well, this is Arthur Stan. We do hope you've enjoyed Larry, and certainly I fully support Notice America. I think they do a great job. And so certainly we recommend, if you're in a position to help them, why, please do. And then, of course, we also have to put in a bid for Radio Liberty. We are primarily listener-supported. We need help to maintain the over 60 outlets we have every week, shortwave, satellite, internet, radio stations. We're at least for a short period of time every week. People are learning the truth. And you know, it's the most amazing thing when they hear the truth. And they begin, of course, first they start out thinking we're crazy, and before long they're afraid we're not. And then they begin to understand what's really going on. This battle for freedom, and then behind that, this eternal battle between good and evil that has existed since the beginning of recorded time. And of course, if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it, or watch the DVD. You can watch it for nothing on our website at radioliberty.com. You can also, of course, listen to our programs there. You can certainly look at our links. You can watch a lot of the DVDs we have. But get the information and then help us to get it out and disseminate it. If you've not yet watched the DVDs, The Secret Mystery of America's Beginning, or Riddles in Stone, or The Eye of the Phoenix, you need to get them. They're excellent. We, of course, have the one we produced with Chris Pinto, who is a producer of those three previous DVDs. It's called The Atlantis Connection. And then the four-tape set with Constance Cumby. I believe it's a four-CD set, but it's called The Aquarian Conspiracy, and her DVD is called The Emergence, talking about the coming world leader from the point of view of the occultists and the Satanists and the people involved with the occult. And really, there's so many of them out there. You must understand that there is a supernatural element. We have a four-tape set on the supernatural. We have a four-tape set on Satanism and deliverance. We have a four-tape set of the wisdom of Malachi Martin that comes with a book called Hostage to the Devil. It's the story of five people who were demonically possessed, verified by the Catholic Church. It was a book I read back in about 1980. It was really my first introduction to this whole world movement and the supernatural forces that are working in America today. If you get anything else from us, you'd like the little publication put out by the Luciferians entitled The Working of the Spiritual Hierarchy, and they will tell you there is a plan, with a capital P. And there is a spiritual hierarchy here in the United States that is directing that plan. And they have their agents planted in the educational and government and political and the financial institutions in both the East and the West. We're talking about communist countries and Western countries. And you wonder why we're doing so much today to build up communism in China, why we're transferring our manufacturing and our wealth over there, why, of course, we are funding and guaranteeing the loans to Westinghouse to build five nuclear plants in China, whereas we can't have a nuclear plant here in the United States. Why can't we have a nuclear plant in the United States? Because they want us to limit electricity. They're going to drive up the price. They want to lower our living standards. If you haven't read the Earth Charter, you need to. And if you can't pull it down off the Internet, why, we'll be glad to send you a copy if you get anything else from us. The Earth Charter, the master plan of the occultist for the brave new world that's to come. You'll certainly want to get this intelligent analysis that's just been put out by the Office of Homeland Security. If you can't get it off the Internet, why, of course, we'll be glad to provide you a copy. They do not want the American people to see this. It says it's not to be given to the press. It's not to be given to the people. Don't let the people know. When they talk about transparency, ladies and gentlemen, they're simply lying. They do not want you to know we're moving very rapidly towards a police state, and you've got to be involved now. Because, you know, if you don't stand up now, you're not going to be able to stand up later. And, of course, remember that cowards die a thousand deaths, but a brave man dies but once. So join us in this epic struggle for the survival of Western civilization and the souls of men. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com. Please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.